And welcome to another podcast at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by Madison Computer Works. Speak of the devil. Well, he's not the devil, but he is Brian Leese, proprietor of Madison Computer Works. Brian, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
You like that introduction?
Yeah, I guess I'm as close as you can get, huh?
Well, obviously, there's been a lot of news and what's going on between the United States and one of its largest trading partners. Actually, not its largest trading partner, but one of its largest trading partners. How does that affect the computer industry?
Well, the tariffs have actually been wreaking a lot of havoc in our industry. There's extreme shortages of parts. Trying to get things, it can be tricky. I try sourcing multiple vendors to get things for people. Prices have been going up. So, you know, there's been like, things are going up like 30%. So, you know, everyone's so used to the prices coming down and down on computers. Don't get used to it. Prices are going up. Computers are more expensive. Laptops are more expensive. Everything is more expensive. I believe it's only going to get worse on that. So, you know, for people who think that it's not affecting any of the industries other than farmers and stuff, it is. It's affecting business, and it's going to affect them because a lot of people are needing to upgrade because, the end of Windows 7 thing coming up, and they want to just replace their machine. Their machine's so old, you know, they don't want to consider it. So the tariffs are affecting them. I'm having trouble sourcing specific models that that people really want. One of my manufacturers said that they're actually halting production until first or second quarter of desktop computers because of the tariffs.
So, when you've been in the computer industry a long time, going back to the early 80s, was there a time that that computers were manufactured in America?
Well, thanks for dating me there. But anyway, yes, they were assembled in America, and some of the parts early on were manufactured here. It quickly moved, like all manufacturing, out of the U.S. because people got, manufacturers got advantages for outsourcing. Japan used to be a big producer of electronics before China and other, places in Asia. One time it was, they actually made them, but that was back in the early days when circuits were giant and boards took up like full height towers in order to fit in there. Everything's miniaturized now and mass produced in somewhere in Asia. Yeah.
So everyone agrees that we have to do something about China. Obviously, we have a president that is erratic in the way he approaches this, although he has had, it is interesting, in some of the tariffs against China, he's not had much pushback from the Democrats. As a matter of fact, in some respects, Chuck Schumer has said, stick to your guns.
Look, a lot of people are just rolling over or letting him, hang himself, so to speak, because, if something happens, if it hurts the economy and everything, obviously it's going to only benefit, the Democrats in getting in. So in answer to that particular question, I understand when somebody's doing something stupid, do you come out and warn them or not?
Right.
But I feel personally that tariffs are, hurting and will hurt the economy and are hurting the economy, whether it's giving these money to the farmers who are hurting and everything. That costs billions of dollars. That who's paying for it? The taxpayers are. So people say, "Oh, it's not affecting me." It is affecting you.
Well, my personal opinion is we never should have let China into the World Trading Organization. I think they're a very bad player.
Right. And the thing is, there are ways to straighten things out and do it that push and shove and push back and forth to jockey for position. Right now, tariffs. Right before we had the Great Depression, it was a lot of it was pushed by tariffs. So I guess what I'm saying is, historically, the tariffs had a huge part in creating that. Nobody wins in a trade war. Let's put it that way. In the end,
I think the trade war started in 2001.
It's possible.
Well,
it's possible.
10 million jobs gone, 70,000 factories. I think that's a trade war.
Well, it's outsourcing. Outsourcing is really your trade war because, you know, they made it beneficial. They got tax advantages for moving the manufacturing out of. I mean, why wouldn't you if you were a plant owner? Who wants to employ overpriced Americans, right?
Right. So, all right, bottom line is computers are going to be a little more expensive.
More expensive and harder to get, yes.
Okay. So going forward, obviously people need computers.
they do, and it might not replace, in
some respects, in kind of a weird way, although you say it's harder for you to get parts, is people holding on to computers a little longer in some respects help you?
The thing is that a lot of these machines can't be upgraded, like to Windows 10. They're just too old. They didn't make drivers for the motherboards and for the hard. So you have to replace them.
Mm-hmm. I know they're having a heck of a time upgrading my computer at work.
because some
sound card doesn't jive with Windows 10 and.
Exactly. That's drivers I'm talking about and everything. And so generally, rule of thumb, I hate to use that term rule of thumb, but if it's more than 4 or 5 years at the most old, you replace it for Windows 10. You don't try and upgrade a Windows 7 machine to Windows 10 that's older than that, because even if it works when you initially upgrade it, subsequent updates of Windows 10 may break it because they don't have proper drivers from the manufacturer of the hardware. Not talking about from Microsoft, who makes pseudo drivers to sort of make it work. So it's always best if you get, you know, a new machine with Windows 10 if your machine is older than 4 or 5 years old and running Windows 7. Now, Windows 7, so if you can upgrade, great. You know, it's easy to do. You bring it in. It's about an hour of labor. We make an image of it, then we upgrade it to Windows 10. Is it, you know, should you do it in all cases? Not if you're having hardware issues with that machine, like if it's got a bad hard drive or it's been locking up on you or something like that, then you don't upgrade it. You just buy a new one. I hate to be in a disposable society, but with electronics, it practically is that way, or at least with computers.
Are we becoming better at recycling computers? I know there's companies like E-File 13 that recycle TVs and electronics.
So, I mean, I try and do the best I can vetting my recyclers and everything, but I can't swear that it doesn't end up. I mean, I know China's not taking our recycled stuff and our plastics anymore. So I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't sit there and you know, check up on where it goes to, and because I have no resources to do that. Why would they take it from me, though? Because, I mean, they don't charge me to take and everything if they weren't getting something for it. So I have to believe that they're recycling the stuff. Now, does that, you know, promote pollution? Are they doing it properly and everything? Unfortunately, I have no way of policing that. Some are probably good, some probably aren't.
So how big of an advantage is Windows 10 over previous Windows products?
So Windows 10 has a lot of nice features, and has some that aren't as quite as nice, like you can't turn off Windows updates. You might be able to push them for a week. Windows 7, you could actually turn off updates, so you could, you know, you could do it, you know, whenever you wanted to. With Windows 10, it gets really ornery and persnickety if you try and push it more than a week, and eventually says, heck with you, I'm upgrading to the, you know, the updates, doing the updates.
That sounds like my personality.
Well, the reason they're doing it is because there's so much malware out on the internet and everything that they feel that they need to run these patches and do it to fight the bad guys, so to speak.
Well, and I don't have that on my list here of things to talk about, but just since you mentioned that, I am hearing more and more stories about school districts having to pay and cities having to pay this terrible ransom money. Well, explain that.
It's primarily targeted universities, government, political parties, of course, especially coming up, schools. They're huge targets, and these are actual cyber attacks. So they find a way to get in. They worm a way in, whether it's somebody sent an email, hey, your password is not working, or you know, and they get somebody to give up the information, you know, log in here to fix your email, whatever. And people foolishly give away their stuff, not thinking, oh, this is somebody trying to, you know, to get information, and it's not legit. But I mean, that is, there's so many different types of cyber attacks and ransomware. The ransomware is really what they try and get in there and then encrypt everything, and then, you know, what is a government supposed to, they could have, or a school supposed to do? That, I mean, they could try and restore all the data and block things out, which is their best, you know, is the best thing to do, because who wants to pay extortionists? That just emboldens them to keep doing it and everything. But sometimes it costs these school districts more money to restore the data and get everything working, you know, short than it would have to paid off what the ransomers were asking for. Now, ransomware is just one part of this picture. You know, home users are also at risk and everything of falling for the same sort of stuff, phishing attacks, infections, things like that. So everyone should have, you know, good anti-malware and not the free stuff, because nothing free protects you out there that I know. But like if for $25 a year, Webroot will route all your internet traffic to giant servers that scan it with hundreds of gigs of definitions to detect malware before it comes down to your machine. So your machine doesn't use your processor and RAM. It doesn't slow your machine down. So things like Webroot for $25 a year are worth their weight in gold in protecting it.
Now, for people that do have Windows 7 and they don't replace it, what's going to happen?
So basically, nothing right away, but as secondary and tertiary programs come out that only run on Windows 10, you won't be able to run those programs. So let's say TurboTax or QuickBooks comes out with a new version, and they say, oh, you need Windows 10 to even install this new version. Or browsers, once a browser comes out, like if Chrome suddenly won't run on Windows 7, so 3 or 4 months later, Chrome comes out with a version and says, you know, Windows 7 isn't secure, it requires Windows 8 or higher for our product to work, you won't be able to run your Chrome. So nothing immediately, but within a month or two after the end of it, well, you will be getting patches, number one. So your security will start faltering a bit. But number two, those secondary and tertiary programs won't be able to run. So you go to order your TurboTax, and at TurboTax, you go to install it, and it says, no, can't, don't, we don't run on Windows 7, you know, Windows 8 or higher. So it's the secondary programs. I mean, off the bat, Microsoft came out with Office 2019, and it will not even install on Windows 7. You have to have Windows 8 or higher to install Office 2019.
Ah, well, that's something most people use.
Well, you're right, but I mean, the older offices like 2016 or 2013 work fine on Windows 7, but that's why I'm saying new versions of programs, QuickBooks, TurboTax, they will come out and they'll say, we know work, just like what happened with XP.
Brian Leese with us. We're talking about a number of issues having to do with computers. You have listed here one of the topic ideas, solid-state hard drives. What are they, and should you replace them?
All right. Well, before I get into solid states, I had one last thing to say on the malware, and then we'll move on to solid state. But the thing, companies like Webroot came out with products that protect DNS. It's called DNS protection, that are not expensive. And what it does is the DNS is kind of like your phone book on the Internet. It's all the sites and everything on the Internet. And instead of, you know, IP addresses, weird numbers, it puts them in English, like yahoo.com or google.com. So DNS is like your Internet's phone book. Well, DNS protection means that sites that are known to house malware and are bad are blacklisted. There's like a huge list of, you know, tons of sites that you know, have malware or are shown to have malware, and they're blocked with DNS protection. So it's inexpensive, about $3 a month. That's $36 a year. But, I mean, it blocks like 88% of, you know, malware infections and stuff before it ever even gets to the giant scanners that, you know, in other words, you would never even have that stuff coming. So I guess what I'm saying is there's another level of protection called DNS protection, and with it, especially for businesses, but for home users also, because it's not expensive. You can really lock down, you know, what type of sites, malware sites it blocks automatically. But you can also, you know, using DNS protection, in businesses, you can block, like, if you have people going to Facebook and you don't want them doing it, or shopping, or guns, or whatever, you know, you want to block your employees from going to. So DNS protection is inexpensive, and it's definitely something people should have. And that's kind of new in the industry and something that's offered that people aren't aware of.
If you're a regular customer of Madison Computer Works and you have the plan where, and we can talk about this, where you can fix things remotely, it's hard for people to keep track on whether they have all this stuff updated and whether they have this stuff. What's the best way to go about that?
Well, with the remote plans, I mean, we have different levels. One is just allows us to remote and help you when you have a problem. But some of the plans offer monitoring of your hardware and updates to make sure they're staying up to date. And, you know, especially for business, that makes a lot of sense. They're inexpensive. They include things like Webroot with them. So, you know, we try and make it affordable for both businesses and individuals to be able to get that sort of IT support, the big, you know, corporations and companies enjoy. I would just say to somebody, you know, stop in here or call up and we'll tell you about it if you, you know, want to know more about it, because there's too much information on those plans and everything. I did want to kind of just jump, I hate to jump on you, the solid state drives, but that is huge right now. The spinning hard drives, because you asked that question before and everything,
right.
So I'm getting back to it. Solid-state hard drives are kind of like, they're almost like RAM chips or thumb drives. They're electronic. It's on chips. There's no moving parts. There's no platters spinning with a little armature reading off of it and everything. So it's not like it's like a record player, so to speak. You know, you're waiting for these revolutions to read your OS and your applications to then load into RAM so you can run those programs in your system. What the difference is so startlingly speed-wise that it's kind of like, instead of you waiting on your computer waits on you. A lot of people say, oh, I got a new computer, it should be fast. No, you've got a spinning hard drive. You've got an inexpensive $500 computer with a spinning hard drive. You didn't get a solid state. It's going to be slow, because your slowest point on the machine isn't your processor or your RAM or any of the others. It's the technology used in the hard drive. So solid-state hard drives, I'm getting in, I really mean this, cartons and cartons of them, and replacing out customers' hard drives, both on desktops and laptops. Now, if it is on a desktop, you want to get what's called a UPS. It's a battery backup, so if your power goes out, it shuts off your machine down properly, or it supplies power. Because if you turn a machine off, well, it's kind of like ripping that flash drive out without ejecting it. You risk corrupting data. So a UPS for desktop. Laptops have a battery, so you don't need a battery backup. But solid-state hard drives have come down in price so much, 500 gig is like $129, and a terabyte's down to $169. So it's affordable. It's affordable, and it's like grease lightning. You know, turn your computer, like I said, waits on you. You don't wait on it anymore.
And people are impatient.
Right? Yes.
So let me ask you this. How much time per week do you spend? I know you've got the daily grind of running a business and managing employees and doing the books and all that sort of thing.
Right.
How much time do you spend actually trying to keep yourself updated about an industry that, you know, where things are constantly changing?
Well, I personally am that I love the technology. I mean, it's the only industry I could have gone into that had enough variation and change to constantly keep me interested. You know how it is in any business. You learn everything about it, and then you're just doing the same thing day after day. It's not like that with computers. And if you have a curious mind and want to understand how everything works, you're going to learn it. If you're not curious, it doesn't matter what people tell you, you'll never remember it because you're not curious about it. Now, with computers, I spend a lot of time back in service, because as new technology, well, people ask me about it. Like, you know, getting a lot of people ask me, well, what's all this about the new wireless mesh networks? So, you know, I have to be on the forefront. As soon as somebody says, what do you know about mesh networks, I need to study and become an expert on how it works, what products my vendors offer, you know, and so then I am able to talk knowledgeably with them about, well, you have multi-layers in your house and you're not getting good penetration to all the rooms and you don't want to run cables, this mesh network, and then I can give them pricing, explain how it works, how it networks to all the nodes and everything. So I have to keep up on the technology to be able to both sell it and you know, tell people about it and then implement it so my technicians support it properly.
Are there many other businesses like Madison Computer Works? It just seems to me that the size that you are, I mean, you're in some respects a small business, but you have a fair amount of people working for you. You're not a small shop, and yet you're not Best Buy. Are you kind of a unique operation?
Well, it's interesting. There used to be a lot of stores here in town. And there was kind of a shakeup, and most of them closed. There's not a lot of what's known as break-fix computer companies in Madison. There's a couple small ones, but I don't know of any larger break-fix. Most computer companies went into the managed services, IT support, something we offer, you know, also to our customers, but that they went directly into that, and they don't want to sell hardware, sell computers. They don't want to, you know, be that place that when it breaks has to fix it and has a service department and parts and all that sort of stuff. So in many ways, we are unique because we're the last man left standing, so to speak, and there isn't, at least not in Madison, a lot. Now, in bigger cities like, you know, Milwaukee, Chicago, I'm assuming there's more break-fix, but in Madison, in many ways, we are unique. It's just the way it is, and very few of them do like we've developed, because we kind of developed our company to take care of residential small and medium businesses, and that's our demographics, and so whatever their needs are, we cater to that those demos. I'm really not going after, you know, at all government stuff or huge corporations, which tend to have their own IT departments anyway. We're the IT departments for small to medium business and residential, you know, home users.
As we Labor Day approaches, as we record this, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that you've got some longtime employees. Is making sure that they're taken care of well a big part of your business plan?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we've offered health care to our employees since, well, as long as we've been offering health care to everyone and everything, to myself and my, you know, the owners and everything else, right away. That to us is very important. And you know, we do have people who have been with us for well, some of them longer than I've been here, believe it or not. Started back in the typewriter days with my brother and father in the very early 80s or late 70s. So, So anyway, I mean, yes, I do have people who stay here. Most of my employees been here 10 years, 15 years, some of them 25 or more years. So, they're long-timers because, one, the culture, but, two, we do take care of them. We offer, you know, things. We care more about the employees than most companies do. But as a small business, that's what you do.
But the customers reap a benefit from that.
Well, yeah, they get to deal usually with the same person. I mean, sometimes long-term people will leave abruptly, whether it's due to health issues or just because it's time, or they just say, you know, I want to do something else with my life. I want to go in a new direction. I want to be a, you know, whatever, truck driver, whatever they decide. So, you know, and we support them. I mean, if that's their dream and they want to do that sort of thing. I've had employees who want to go back to school and go down to part-time but still work here, and we're like, you know, absolutely, we'll support you while you go get that degree that you've always wanted and put off for 15 or 20 years.
Finally, if people want to find out whether they should upgrade to Windows 10 or replace their computer and maybe have some other questions about whether their computer is properly, you know, protected, easy enough for me to talk here. Should they come in or should they call?
I always urge people to come in. That way we can show them stuff. We can go over it with them. I mean, you know, we were talking about ransomware as an example before. Everyone should have backup of their data, and it's so inexpensive these days. I mean, cloud backup like Carbonite is $72 a year, does it automatically. It's HIPAA compliant, so your data is encrypted up there. And it's just a matter of, you know, we ask security questions. We help you set it up on your machine. And now you've got an offsite backup in case there's like a fire or something. But so many people don't back up their stuff. And then their hard drive suddenly crashes or they get in ransomware encrypted or whatever. And, I mean, for a little bit of prevention and just talking with us, we'll help you get it implemented and everything with Carbonite. I mean, we're not selling Carbonite in the sense, but we'll support it and we'll help you get set up on it. And, you know, and do we charge for our time? Yeah, but I mean, if it takes half an hour time and now you've got a product that's protecting you, it's worth the money. So when somebody's upgrading, though, in answer to your first question there, if they come in and talk with us, we can say, okay, do you have, what version of Office do you have? Oh, it's 2010, you need a new one. Or, oh, you got 2013, do you have your login and password? No, you don't. Well, who installed it? And so we help in that whole process. People are terrified of getting a new machine because that means you have to set up all your programs, all your email, get all your data copied over, and it's a daunting task for an end user. So for us, we do this all the time. I mean, every day practically here, especially these days with the end of Windows 7. And we go through a litany of questions on the config and, you know, on what you're doing and what you need moved and what you have and don't have so that we can help you in this process of getting it moved over to another machine. If you just go out and buy a computer and set it up, yeah, you might get, you know, 70% of the stuff done after a week or two of struggling with it. But we try and take the pain out of the move to it.
If people want to contact you, how do they call?
Just call in and ask us to speak to someone and say, I got several people who work in that department and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm happy to help people. I get pulled a lot of ways, though, so I'm not always, as a matter of fact, I'm really available on the phone because I'm already on the phone talking to somebody else.
No, I guess I just was, I was just asking your phone number.
Oh, okay. 608-231-8000. 608-231-8000. And then just ask for somebody, you know, in sales, because they'll ask how to direct it. And they'll talk to you about what your, you know, needs are, what it is you're doing, what you've got, and then help you, you know, get a price and know what you're getting into.
All right. Your hours and location.
Okay. So our hours are Monday through Friday. We used to be open on Saturdays in the winter, but this year we are actually going to be just Monday through Friday. And we're not going to be open on the weekend. So it is 8 a.m. Till 6 p.m. in service or 9 to 6 in sales, Monday through Friday. Saturday is going to be appointment only. So, you know, I will come in on a Saturday if that's all somebody can do, you know, is get here on a Saturday, but it's by appointment. So our weekend hours, we are going to be ending this. We're not going to go back to weekend hours.
All right. Brian Leese, always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Sly.
All right. Brian Leese, Madison Computer Works at SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.